Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 344th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I am a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada.
I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and a professor at the University of Alberta.
Omega-3s.
Looking for a supplement that desperately needs a home, James.
Yes.
Desperately. Are you going to help it out?
Well, I think we this new tools of practice that's just come out will help answer, I think, an interesting question. I don't know if it answers it definitively, but it at least addresses the question that's come out. Because we previously talked about omega-3 supplements, and I think, you know, the overwhelming evidence that giving it to otherwise healthy people, there are many, many randomized controlled trials showing that it doesn't seem to do anything to certainly cardiovascular disease. This is a different topic.
Right. So this is the idea that if you give omega-3s, particularly fish oil, to women who are pregnant, there's ideas that it could actually make babies smarter. But there's also an idea that it will prevent allergic disease in the children. So Adrian Lindblad will be looking at the, does it make babies smarter?
Mm-hmm. Does it make them swim better?
They grow gills.
Yes.
But Adrian helped me out on this one. And this was the question. And, you know, a brand new New England Journal publication came out on this and was generated a fair amount of attention. And it's the idea, can fish oil supplementation during pregnancy prevent allergic disease in children?
Yeah. And by prevent, we actually mean reduce the risk of
developing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's very hard to prevent almost, you can't prevent things. But yeah. But anyway, we'll say prevent for now.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me that.
Kevin. Yes. I'm a generous guy.
You're nothing if not giving.
No, I'm definitely nothing then.
Okay, so four systematic reviews. We're going to look at the Cochrane review. Mm-hmm. So it had 8 randomized control trials with 3,366 women. They were given anywhere from 400 to 4,500 milligrams of fish oil daily. And they started at gestation somewhere as little as 18 weeks, but the majority were somewhere between 20 and 30 weeks gestation. And frequently, the parents or the offspring's mom, father, or had a sibling that had allergic disease. So these were maybe a little bit higher risk kids that were in the process of developing to be born. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it generally goes, James.
Yeah, because
pregnancy leads to kids.
Does it? Oh, I didn't know that. I'll look it up in a book sometime.
I'll send you some of the books I read my kids when they were younger.
Yeah, I just need picture books.
I know, buddy. Okay. So one of the things that I think you need to understand here, this is a common problem when we look at systematic reviews, and you know we have been very positive about Cochrane in the past, and we think their systematic reviews are good, but you have to understand they do a lot, and I mean a lot, of meta-analyses within each systematic review. So in this case, there were 76 different meta-analyses performed. So let me try and explain how that happens. So they looked at any allergy as an outcome, and they looked at whether it was IgE-related allergies or clinical allergies, and they looked at them over 3 different time points. They looked at specific allergies, like are you allergic to tree pollen? Are you allergic to eggs? Are you allergic to nuts? Over 3 different time points. Maternal infant allergies maternal safety stuff like postpartum bleeding and infant fever. Allergy sensitization, so this is the skin prick type test, over 3 different time points for 9 different allergens. Parent report of allergies without validation over 3 time. And you're getting the sense, and I don't need to do any more, but there are a ton of meta-analysis. So out of the 76, there were 6 that were statistically significant. Only 4 of those were actually based on 2 or more studies. So you're looking at a tiny sample of the ones that are statistically significant. And 6 out of 76 is within the realm of something that could be just by chance.
Yeah, because you know, you'd expect, and it's not exactly like this, but you probably, if you just did all these meta-analyses just by chance alone, like 5 out of 100, and they got 6 out of 76, but that doesn't... Those are still both within realms of just statistical chance. But nonetheless, they did find these differences.
Right. So any allergy with sensitization, so that means with a positive skin prick test, the rate ratio was 0.66, so a 34% reduction, and a number needed to treat there of 23. Eczema with any sensitization was a reduction of about 39% with a number needed to treat again of 23. Sensitization to eggs or any allergen was around a 45% reduction for eggs and a 30% for any allergen. Other things were negative, like asthma, rhinitis, peanut allergies, you name it, negative. And there was no increased risk in postpartum hemorrhage overall. And other systematic reviews found similar. So what you're left with, the quality of these studies was kind of 5 out of 7, if you believe in your quality scores. So not bad. And demonstrating that, there is potentially an effect here, but not very reliable. Now, there is this new New England Journal study, which was very well done. And it had 695 children in it, followed for 6 years. So a fairly good time frame. Mothers were given 2.4 grams per day of fish oil or olive oil after 24 weeks gestation onward to delivery. And they found that persistent wheeze or asthma, so the persistent wheeze didn't need to be diagnosed by a clinician. It could just be mom's reporting of a couple bouts of wheezing. Or asthmas clustered together had a hazard ratio of 0.69, so a 31% reduction, and a number needed to treat of 15. No effect at all on other allergic disease. Two others that had extended follow-up, one was a 533-person or 33-child study that was followed for, and get a load of this, James, up to 24 years. Now, the randomization part was long, long ago. Mm-hmm. This one's really interesting because it's consistently reported as having an effect because they showed that there was a reduction in something like asthma medication use and some other outcomes like that versus placebo, which was olive oil again. But what's interesting is this is a 3-arm trial, and there was an arm of the trial that gave no supplement at all. Mm-hmm. And the in that, compared to nothing at all, fish oil had no effect on any outcome. It may have been better than olive oil, but it wasn't better than nothing at all.
Right, yeah. And therein lies the problem of just looking at statistical significance, and we talked about that in the previous podcast. But I like trials that have a no supplement or a no treatment arm, because it gives you an idea of the, you know, the natural history, if you will, of some studies, or in this case, what happens if you just do nothing, so to speak.
So if you're someone who's thinking about taking olive oil supplements to prevent allergic disease in your kids, you can choose between doing nothing or taking fish oil supplements, because they'll both get you back to zero. That's another way to interpret that trial. Out of 700 children times 6 years, allergic disease was exactly equal, 31% in both. This one was one that I put a lot of effort in, because I ended up pulling all of the clinical trials and going over them individually. And it was a laborious task, but it was fascinating to me how in one study, eczema would be significantly and clinically meaningfully reduced, like a 50-70% reduction in eczema endpoints. And then in the next study, eczema was more common. Mm-hmm. It was very hard to determine. The consistency was absolutely absent. And this is a continual problem for us in Tools for Practice and those who interpret evidence regularly. You will find that in these kind of questions where we don't have a massive clinical trial, we get a lot of mid-sized trials that find very different results. One will find a reduction in asthma, but in a non-statistically significant increase in eczema. The next will find a statistically significant decrease in eczema, but a non-statistically significant increase in asthma. Yeah. And how do you reconcile these differences?
Well, I think part of it is, if you listen to our previous podcast where we talked about there is probably not a lot of publication bias and so on in large cardiovascular trials, this is a perfect example of where There's probably a number of trials that have gone unpublished. There's a number of studies that have that look at all sorts of different endpoints and then only report on the ones that they found to be statistically significantly different. So this is an area that's just ripe for misinterpretation, publication bias, reporting bias, and so on. And as you said, Mike, it's why it creates such a struggle for us to do the things that we do of presenting information in a way that makes any sense, you know, especially when it comes to having to put things down on paper like for the tools for practice, is because it really is difficult to be definitive when exactly as you're saying, the results are consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, exactly. And we've used that term so many times in our presentations. But, you know, for example, there was a study done in Australia, and it found an increase in atopic dermatitis by about 50%. And 45% of kids had atopic dermatitis who took fish oil versus 30% when their mom took fish oil versus 30%. And the other group was showed a reduction, and this was done in a Scandinavian country, and 8% of them developed eczema or atopic dermatitis versus 24% in placebo. So these results, one shows a 15% increase and the other shows a 16% decrease. How do you reconcile that? You just can't.
No, you can't. And you know, when we see this sort of data for conditions where there are, in quotation marks, no side effects other than the cost, which, you know, I think you would agree my cost is really a side effect. But in this meta-analysis, it wasn't like there was no life-threatening adverse events, but these fish oil supplements were not all that well tolerated. As you guys reported, there's more belching, 41% versus 10%, and unpleasant taste, 26% versus 4%. You know, you probably couldn't get a drug on the market if you had that side effect profile.
Actually, I think our podcast has some very similar side effects. Certainly the unpleasant taste.
Oh, yes, yeah. And we, you know, I go out and edit out the belching that Mike does.
And any other various noises.
Exactly.
So, it wasn't consistent, but some studies found a dropout rate of around 10% because of adverse events. So, yeah, I mean, it's tricky. So just a reminder, what fish oil is when they're talking about fish oil, it's the omega-3 or N3 long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids, or LC-PUVA, for fatty acids. They come in different forms. Like there's a doxohexy something acid and one that I won't even start to pronounce, which we think are the effective H, or some people think are the effective parts of them. But again, we have nothing to support that. So where are we left with here, James? Well, fish oil supplementation in pregnancy is still very much debatable. But some sites, if you go to, even the Health Canada says that you should have fish consumption during pregnancy.
You're not going to go out on a limb and say that, are you? You're not going to say people should eat food?
Yeah, instead of taking supplements. I know it's crazy, isn't it? It's insane.
Man, oh man. Do you have a tool to practice that people should eat food? Because I don't believe you until you show me the results. I mean, I think that's the bottom. Anyway, go to the end, finish what you were going to say, and then we'll just talk about why people should eat food.
Yeah. So this is the warnings of, but they warn about mercury contamination. Obviously, that's in bigger fish like swordfish and tuna and all of that. You have to be conscious of mercury. And then they also warn about taking vitamin A supplements with cod liver oil in particular, because excess vitamin A, so if you're taking even a multivitamin that contains vitamin A and you're also taking cod liver oil, you could get a toxic amount of vitamin A. So those are just a couple of the warnings that they give you, but they do suggest that taking, particularly eating fish and maybe even fish oil supplements might be good. But again, based on not a lot of evidence. Right. So,
I mean, I think a lot of this now comes down to, with trials that are like this, with the concerns and the, you know, doing 76 evaluations and finding 6 statistically different and then realizing that those are going to be the ones that are going to make it into the press. I mean, I just wish we could use some common sense. Why don't, you know, pregnant women just eat a reasonable diet of things that include things like, if you really believe fish oil may do something, or olive oil or whatever it is, why not just eat a balanced diet, you know, sort of the Mediterranean diet, where you're exposed to all sorts of different things. I'm assuming you don't have allergies to, you know, personal allergies to those things, but why not just, call me crazy, Mike, eat a relatively balanced, healthy diet that comes from all sorts of things that you would see in a Mediterranean diet and not worry about it? How about that?
I'm going to try and stay calm here, James, but I'm going to politely ask you to edit out that last bit.
Yeah, because it's just it's just bizarre.
It's insane to suggest that people, instead of going to the drugstore and buying a bunch of supplements and vitamins, to actually eat a well-balanced meal. It's insane.
I know.
On the face of it. And we know that people who think that they're deficient are the ones who are most likely to be fine.
Because the
research shows again and again that the people who take vitamin supplements, for example, are those who least need them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, but I don't eat a perfectly balanced meal. It turns out that is likely still fine.
Yeah.
And I always point out that, like, you know, well, yesterday, like 6 weeks ago, I had a Pop-Tart. Well, actually, don't worry about it, because Pop-Tarts are chock full of vitamins and stuff that they've.
Now, is it the ones with the ones with the icing?
Yeah, exactly. Those are the best ones,
because
they have that's not icing, James. That's sugar mixed with vitamins.
Oh, okay.
It's Flintstones.
Now, a word of caution, and I'm just from personal experience: when you put them in the toaster, and you take them out of the toaster, do not bite into them immediately.
Now we're getting to some really solid advice.
Exactly. Now we're talking about second degree burns if you do that. But if we go back to like common sense and eating food, now when you look at, we've talked about this with fish oils and omega-3s and so on. When you look at supplements, we have randomized controlled trials that show no benefit. We will never have randomized controlled trials of eating fish, but the cohort trials, and I understand all the limitations of that, the cohort trials do suggest, if you eat fish, a reduction in cardiovascular disease. Now, there are a bazillion, and I think I'm understating the number, of confounders that are associated with that. But if you are trying to be as evidence-based possible and you need to know what you should eat basically reasonable food like the Mediterranean diet and balanced and lots of different types of foods. And I don't know if we're ever going to have a better answer for that than that. And certainly when it comes to the allergies and fish oil, I mean, I don't, you know, we can't definitively say it doesn't do anything. But I mean, I when I look at this stuff, I would never go, oh, this is a good recommendation.
Yeah. So let's get to our bottom line. So the bottom line we had is fish oil in pregnancy is likely ineffective for preventing allergic disease in offspring, as the decreases that are seen in either eczema, food allergies, or asthma in one study are not found in other studies, and the positive effects seem to wane over time. That was something we didn't talk about, but as the studies go on, they seem to have less and less effect. Now, you will have enthusiastic mothers in front of you who are very concerned about allergic disease and have heard about fish oil supplements. I don't think that the evidence is strong enough either to dissuade them from taking it. I don't think you can say, look, this won't work.
Yeah, well, when you have, so I'm sort of poking fun, when you have enthusiastic mothers, and I don't think enthusiasm, that term was used as a positive comment. I may be wrong.
James, I don't like your negative attitude.
I know.
First, you're telling people to eat healthy, which I think is disrespectful in general. And now you're suggesting that I have chosen words to downplay some aggressive people who want to use supplements.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to be enthusiastic about it.
I'll tell you that that word did go through many changes, and it was Aiden's choice to use enthusiastic. I started out with super keen, so there you go. Which I think is also a relatively good compromise. But she thought it's not quite as highbrow as enthusiastic. Yeah. All right. So if they do, they could at best see a prevention of allergic disease for every 1 in 20 children.
Mm-hmm.
So a mom who has high risk, who has 20 children, she could prevent it in one.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think it's important, because I think let's assume that you have these enthusiastic mothers. I don't even, even if it was, I think when they take it, I think they assume that it will work for most kids. So even, even in the best case scenario, it's 1 in 20.
That's the dream world.
Yeah, exactly. So that, and I think that's the interesting sort of part about it. And it's why we do evidence, why we've been doing this podcast for years, to show that it's, you know, just because you're doing something and it shows an effect doesn't mean it's beneficial to everybody. So, yeah, no, I think...
Well, that's what the headline reads, right, James? The headline reads,
yeah,
taking fish oil in pregnancy will prevent allergies.
Yeah. And
that is a quite a deceptive headline.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And so, you know, I think that's why when we stand back and just use some common sense about, you know, eating food, you know, being physically active and not smoking and so on, that, you know, I think that's, you know... We don't have black and white definitive evidence for those, but again, it's this. You do have to mix evidence with some common sense on occasion. I know. Again, call me crazy.
Oh, I'll do that once the podcast is over.
Yeah, and also in our course, in front of hundreds of people. So, anything else you want to add to this, Mike?
No, I think we'll have one more come out, and we'll have Adrian on the podcast to talk about when she looked at it for having smart babies.
Yeah.
Because I know that neither of our mothers used omega-3s, and it shows.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's amazing that we even survived childhood.
All right, so I guess it's time to wrap her up, James.
I think it is, yeah. And I don't really think we have anything to sell other than check out our website on a fairly regular basis to see what's going on. Check out the things that we're publishing, the videos that we put out, all the other information. And so I think we'll leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.